We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
And I'm excited for tonight. I believe that God has a plan here for the service tonight, that God's going to touch people's lives. Who knows what's going to happen? Might pray for some people. I don't know. We'll just follow the Holy Spirit here tonight as the Lord leads us. Amen. Holy Spirit, I thank you that your presence here is in our midst. I ask that you come, that you touch every single hungry heart here, everyone that thirsts after righteousness, Lord. I thank you that they will be filled tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so we've been doing a series on the life of Jesus, and we're just going to continue on with that. So I don't remember if I think last week we were in Matthew chapter 5 or 4. Today we're going to continue in Luke chapter 5. So you can turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 5. We were in Luke 4 last week, thank you. So tonight we're in Luke 5. What kind of Bibles do you all read? Just out of curiosity. New Living? Burgundy? New King James? Anyone got anything else?
I got a Spanish one.
Oh, that doesn't count. Anything else? There's not like a right or wrong. I was just curious. Someone was asking me about like what translation to read, and you know, I read the New King James Version only because like there's several translations that actually leave a lot of scriptures out. Not that you can't read those, not that those translations are wrong. If you have like NIV or a NLT, just maybe like write in the missing scriptures. You can look up online, like search like NIV, NLT, or whatever version, missing scriptures, and it'll give you a list. It's like Matthew, I want to say like 17, 21, 18. They're like important scriptures too. Like this kind comes not out by prayer and fasting. The Son of Man comes to seek and save that which is lost. Or like, you know, just like important scriptures that you wonder like, why did they take those out? Anyway, that has nothing to do with tonight's sermon. I was just curious. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." I love this scripture. There is so much in this story that we can talk about, and we'll talk about as much as we can, and probably still won't even cover all of what could be said about it. But, you know, this story reminds me one time, when I went to Bible school, I remember getting down there and wondering what kind of job I was going to have because, like, you know, school, Bible school was from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., so I'm not just going to be like lazy the rest of the day and just chill out or do what a lot of my Christian friends did and, quote, live by faith, aka be a lazy bum, sit on somebody's couch and believe God for provision to come in. That, you know, I mean, like, you know, people get confused about what the Bible says. The Bible says if you don't work, you won't eat. So if you're able to work, you better work, you know? And so anyway, I remember being there. And one thing that's been true in my life ever since I was a teenager is I've never struggled to get a job. You know, some people, like, they have the hardest time getting a job. I don't know. I just, when I wanted a job would happen, you know? So I had some friends that would apply at like 60 different jobs and not hear back from a single one of them. I don't know how that works. I mean, but before I ever even went down there, I heard that a lot of guys down there in Bible school were doing like sales jobs. And so I was in my townhouse probably the first month that I was there, probably like the first week that I was there. And a sales guy selling Verizon Fios came by our door and he was selling Verizon. And I was like, well, I don't really want Verizon right now, but I do want a job. So I talked to him and started selling Verizon Fios door to door, which if you've ever done sales, you know, sales can be tough. If you've ever done door to door sales, you know, it's a lot tougher. And there's just in the sense that there's a lot of rejection. And, you know, they actually paid a pretty good amount of money per sale. So that was that's what kept you going. Was like, you know, you might not make a sale in a whole day, but you might go in one day and make like $500 or whatever. And, you know, it started out good. And they, you know, one of the things was like, oh yeah, no problem that you're here in Bible school. You can make your own schedule. Just, you know, make sales and don't worry about, you know, going to Bible school. You can do whatever you want. And it started out that way where they kind of like were really, you know, relaxed with me. And so I remember one day I was like, hey, look, they said I can make my own schedule. And there was like this guy who came, he was doing like a worship conference there in Tampa. And I was like, I had a friend who invited me to go to this concert. It wasn't really a concert. He's just leading worship there. And a lot of people went. And so I went there and went, and you know, I just went and worshiped the Lord that night. And then like the next day, my boss at the time, he like called me, like reamed me out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You said I can make my own schedule. I told you I'm here for Bible school. I didn't come for, you know, I didn't come down here to like, you know, learn how to be a salesman. I came down here for Bible school and part of that's going to work. So that started like this thing where like, even though they told me they'd be flexible with me, they weren't being as flexible as they claimed to be. And I kept reminding them like, look, I like this sales job and, you know, it's fun working for you guys. You know, everything's pretty laid back and whatever, but I'm here for Bible school. And it's like, they couldn't understand that. After a certain time, they started hassling me about it. And, I remember one day, it's like this story where they toiled all day and they caught nothing. And then at the word of Jesus, all of a sudden, you know, you let down your nets and you're bringing this boat sinking load of fish. And I remember I remember just believing God that, you know what, God, you can totally show these guys, you know, that you're able to provide. And so one day is like, this was like the best sales day. And I had several sales jobs since then, but this was like the best sales day that I've ever had in like my whole life. I remember praying, just believing God for supernatural favor, went out on the street, and it was like maybe, I don't remember if it was every single door, but I made like five sales like in one night. There was no time for me to not make a sale. It was like every single house that I knocked on, they're like, oh yeah, come on in. We've been waiting for you, buddy. Sign me up. And I remember that week I made like, I think $1,300. I was 18 years old. In one week, I made $1,300. And I remember when they gave me the check that they were, one of the guys, there was a team that I was on because they had different sales teams. And my team, the guy that I was working for, he was like a complete heathen. But then there was these other teams with like Bible school guys in there that were running the team. And they saw like my sales and they're like, man, I'm so excited for you. You know, I remember like when I first came to Bible school and the Lord blessed me like that. Like, it was crazy. Like, they put my check up on the wall. They always put like the big checks up on the wall. It just showed that like God can, in one moment, when you just trust and believe him, that he can just totally outperform anybody no matter what you're thinking or where you're at. In one single moment, he can take you from working all day long, you know, toiling all night, not catching a single thing, and then in just being obedient, being faithful, he wants to show them heathen people that, like, he can make the sales happen faster than anybody else. So no matter what your job is, just believe God for supernatural favor. And you know what? After making that big check, I think it was like a week or two later that I quit. I was like, forget you people, you know, just wanted to show you that I can do it, and then I'm out of here. It was because they didn't stop hassling me. You know, it was like once I made $1,300, they wanted me to make $1,300 every week, and if I didn't, they were like, hey, you know, you're not working enough. I was like, I told you people, I'm not here for work, I'm here for Bible school. So I ended up, you know, taking a job at the church where I was making a fraction of what I was doing sales, but I was happier because I at least felt like I was helping the ministry. So anyway, let's talk about this scripture. First, we see here in verse 1, it says, the multitude pressed about to hear the word of God. You see that? It says, the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God. You know, we use the term, maybe you've heard me say it before, maybe, you know, you're new to church or whatever, and you don't understand Christianese yet, but we say the word pressed in, right? You ever heard me or someone here say, you got to press in? This is what it's talking about. He's talking about this multitude, they pressed into the crowd. They're like, I mean, you know, you got a picture. There's all these people that are following Jesus because Jesus is doing all these wonderful miracles. And these people, they're like desperate to hear the word of God. They're like, I need to hear Jesus. And they're like, you know, kind of, you know, they're Christian, but they haven't, like, you know, they didn't have the epistles yet, so they didn't know about, like, you know, how you treat people in love yet. They didn't have 1 Corinthians chapter 13 where it's talking about, you know, like, you know, the God kind of love. So they're just kind of like pushing people out of the way. Hey, I'm trying to hear Jesus. Like, get out of my way. No, I'm just making that up a little bit. But I'm just saying, like, these people, they were pressing in to hear the word of God. And I want to ask you, are you pressing in to hear the word of God? You know, Jesus is there. He's doing miracles. And I'm sure there was people that said to themselves, like, man, I wish I could go hear Jesus, but, you know, I got scheduled for work tonight, or, you know, I got, you know, family over, or I got this thing or that. Man, when you just are so hungry for the things of God, that's when you're, like, pressing in, and you're like, you schedule things around your time with God, not the other way around. You know, I read this about Smith Wigglesworth. Someone wanted to go out with him after dinner to talk about stuff, or after, I think, a church service to dinner with him, and it was like 8 o'clock or whatever, and he's like, sorry, can't go. He's like, I have an appointment at 5 a.m., and the guy's like, what do you mean you have an appointment at like 5? Actually, it might have even been like 4 a.m., something ridiculous, you know? And he's what do you mean you have an appointment? Who has an appointment with you that early? He's like, I have an appointment with Jesus. You know, like, he woke up because, like, he scheduled his time around pressing in with Jesus, pressing in to hear the word of God. So when this says that they were pressing in, the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, you know, you can easily pass over that scripture, but understand that this has to be our lifestyle, that we have to press about, like, we're, you know, I mean, I'm all about, you know, loving each other, but sometimes you just got to, like, push your neighbor and say, like, hey, get out of my way. I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to get that miracle. I'm going to get hands laid out. I'm going to answer that altar call. I don't care what you all are going to do. You can all, you know, stay in your seat and, you know, be all calm and well put together, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to get God's attention. I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna shout, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna dance, I'm gonna, you know, laugh, I'm gonna snot nose, I'm gonna whatever it don't matter to me, I'm gonna get God's attention, I'm gonna press in to get what God has for me. Amen? So that's what these people were doing. They were pressing in. The crowd, the multitude was pressing in to hear the word of God, and I want to challenge you tonight to press in to hear from God for yourself. Amen? What is the word of God for you tonight? Find out. Open your spirit. You know, when we come, you know, we're so in tune with our mind and our body, what it feels, what it wants. You know, we know when our mind wants to be entertained. We know when our body wants to be, when our body's hungry. What does our spirit want? Reach out with your spirit and let your spirit partake of the word of God tonight. All right. Hallelujah. When you meet Jesus, when you have an encounter with Jesus, that's all you begin to want. Sunday morning, you're coming for Jesus. You're coming because You don't care if there's a multitude. You're coming to press in for the Word of God. Wednesday night, you're here because you're hungry for the Word of God. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, every day, every night, you're hungry for the Word of God. So press in to the things of God. Amen? When He fills you up, you'll always be full. So let Jesus touch you tonight and let His words fill you. So Jesus, He finds these fishermen and they're washing their nets. And they're mending their nets, it says in one of the other accounts of this story. So they're there, they're fixing their nets, they're washing their nets. Why? Why would Jesus find them washing their nets? Because they didn't have any fish to clean. Otherwise, it would have said that Jesus found them and they were cleaning their fish and they were selling fish. But they didn't have any fish to sell, they didn't have any fish to clean, so they're doing nothing else but, you know, trying to clean up their nets because they're, you know, their nets caught nothing, but they got probably torn up on some coral on the bottom of the lake or something. I don't know. They caught some rocks and it broke some holes in the net. They didn't catch anything worthwhile, right? They probably caught like an old shoe or a toilet seat and it like ripped the hole in the net or whatever. I don't know. They didn't catch anything worthwhile, but Jesus finds these guys and that's what they're doing. They didn't have anything to do other than fix up and wash their nets. Which fishing was their business, right? They were fishermen. So you could say that their business sucked that day. Their business failed. Their business was not performing well. They were not making money. They were not happy people. Like if they were, you know, so you got to relate yourself in this situation. So like maybe you're in sales, like they weren't making any sales that day. Maybe you're in construction. They weren't doing any construction that day. Maybe like, you know, who knows? Whatever it is that you do, think about it as, this was not a good day for you at your job, at your company, or whatever it is that you're doing. That's what was happening on this particular day. Their business was not doing well. So Jesus comes along. Be mindful of the fact that this is not a good day for Peter. Business is not flourishing. They're not like selling all these fish to everyone and they're just raking in the dough. But Jesus comes along, and all of a sudden, Jesus is asking them for help from their business. Peter, I want to use your boat. Peter, I want to use your business. Isn't it kind of like funny or interesting that on the day that Peter and his partners and his business associates have nothing in the nets to catch, that they're, you know, at least that day, they didn't make any money. That's the day that Jesus shows up and He says, hey, I want to get involved in your business and I want you to help me with your business. You know, you would think it would have been so much easier, it would have been so much great if Jesus comes along and Peter just sold out of like 500 tunas. And you know, if you ever watched the show Wicked Tuna, you know, or whatever, those tunas, those are expensive fish. They're like $5,000. So like Peter's not sitting on like $100,000 in the bank because he just sold clear out of tuna. Not that there's tuna in the Lake of Galilee, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? It wasn't a good day for fishing for them, all right? You'd think that Jesus would be a little more courteous. After all, He's the Son of God and He understands the situation that these guys are in. You would think, look, these guys clearly have not had the best day at work. They're just, you know, they're here just, you know, kind of like trying to pick up what shattered pieces of their day they have left, and they're just trying to make them occupy themselves, even though they're probably all just disappointed that they spent this whole day, whole night fishing and didn't catch anything. You'd think that Jesus would have known better. Why didn't Jesus go find somebody else that actually had a successful day? But no, Jesus came to them when their business was not thriving, when their business was not doing well, and He said, Peter, I want to use your boat. I want to use your business. I want you to help me. I want you to get involved and help me minister to this crowd. Because what Peter did was he enabled him to preach to all of this multitude because he was using the water as a natural amplification system. If you don't understand that, you can go down to Lake Alice and you know, you can be on one side of the lake and you can hear people talking in casual tones on the other side of the lake because that's what water does. It amplifies your voice across the side. So here Peter is helping Jesus preach the gospel, right? He's using his business to help Jesus preach the gospel. I want to encourage you to figure out what you can do to help Jesus preach the gospel. Because the gospel is still being preached today. And you can figure out a way, you might have to get creative and figure out, how is it that I can help amplify the message of Jesus to reach these people? Right? You know, maybe you have a business that you could use to help preach the gospel. Maybe you don't have a business, but maybe you have a car. Maybe there's somebody that you know that wants to come to church and you're thinking, man, I just wish that God could use me to reach people. And meanwhile, there's someone that you know that wants to go to church, but they've been having car problems. Maybe God wants you to use your boat or your car to help get them to church. You know, you can figure out and get creative on how can you use me to get your message out there? Maybe he wants to use you on social media. I don't know. There's like, what is your talent? You know, if you're talented at anything, you can use that for the gospel. I mean, you could be the world's greatest knitter, and you can knit the coolest stuff, you know, scarves, mittens, you know. I don't understand why, I hate that word mittens. It's like when, I'm not trying to pick on anyone in particular, but, you know, they're called gloves, people, all right? I call them gloves, all right? It's like when people say hot cocoa, I'm like, it's hot chocolate, you know, like, but, you know, there's like this sweet old lady, and she's like, I got some hot cocoa for you, and here's some mittens for you. I'm like, man, like, anyway, not that that really matters anyway, but I'm just saying, like, you could be the coolest knitter ever, and, you know, if people are coming to you for knitting advice, you can use that to share the gospel with people. Be like, yeah, the Lord's blessed me with knitting skills. And you can tell them about how great your life is and how blessed you are because you're a great knitter. You know, I'm just saying, like, figure out what is it your talent, what has God blessed you with? Maybe he's just blessed you with the ability to have an influence on people and make a lot of friends and people like spending time with you. But figure out what is it that God has blessed you with that you can use to help amplify the message that Jesus is sharing with people. Amen? And don't think that everything has to be going perfect in order for him to use you. Right? Because was Peter's day going perfectly when Jesus came to use him? No. I bet you Peter was probably pretty annoyed at the fact that Jesus that day wanted to use him. In fact, he kind of, maybe that's why he gave Jesus some attitude when Jesus says, like, hey, push your boat out there and let your nets down. He's like, hey, what are you talking about, Jesus? I've been toiling all night and didn't catch a single thing. Gave Jesus some sass, you know what I mean? He didn't just say, yes, Lord, whatever you want. Clearly, you're the man in charge around here. No, he gave Jesus some lip. And maybe that's because he'd been having a bad day. But don't think that you have to wait for everything to be going perfect in your life. You don't have to wait for the perfect day of sales. You don't have to wait for the perfect day of finances to be in your business, in your job, in your situation. Everything doesn't have to be going right in order for you to be used by God. He wants to use you today. On maybe the worst day of business that you've had in a long time, that might be the day that Jesus comes to you and says, hey, brother, sister, so-and-so, I want to get in your boat. Right? But I think too often we're waiting for every situation to look and to feel perfect in order to feel like Jesus is willing to use us. Once we got everything all together, now God can finally use me. No. He wants to help you out. He wants you to help him out right now. He wants to be in business together with you today. Hallelujah. So don't miss on an opportunity to do something that will help change somebody's lives because you're too focused on the things that have gone wrong in your own life. I honestly think that's where people tend to be, is we're just so self-centered, we're so focused on our own situation that, you know, we tend to pass by situations where God has called us to be the light, where God has called us to be the salt of the earth, where God wants to use us to minister to other people, and that we actually have the power within us. We actually have the ability to encourage somebody, to pray for somebody, to pull them out of the mess and the situation that they're in, but we're so focused on our crappy day that we had, not saying you had a crappy day, but like Peter, you know, I'm talking about this example where he hadn't, you know, caught any fish that day. He could have been just so focused and dejected and focused on himself that he didn't want to be used. But you can't be like that. You can't just focus on yourself. You have to think, no matter what the situation is, God, how can you use me to help you get your gospel out there? And I promise you, just as Jesus did in this situation, when you get Jesus in your boat, when you get Jesus involved in your business, and you're helping out the kingdom, God's going to make sure that you don't go home empty-handed. Amen? He's going to make sure that you're blessed. He's going to make sure that you succeed so ridiculously that you're succeeding so much it looks like you're going to fail. It doesn't even make any sense, but that's what happened to these guys. They were so successful catching them fish that their boat started to sink. That they actually had to get their partners and their friends around them to get involved on hauling in this big amount of success. Their success was so ridiculous, it was not just causing them to go down, it was causing their friends to go down. They're sinking under this huge pile of success. God's ridiculous when He causes you to succeed. You know, prosperity preachers like the fact that they caught so many stinking fish. And I bet you this scripture ticks, you know, most religious preachers off because, you know what, Jesus, that's a bit excessive. Why didn't you just have them each catch a fish for themselves and they would have had enough just to provide for themselves and their family that day and they would have been all happy and fine? Why did you have to make them catch two boatfuls of fish? That's over the top, Jesus. That's more than they needed. Lord, just give me enough for my daily bread. Lord, give us today our daily bread. Not a bit more, just enough so that I can survive for today and tomorrow. I don't want to be blessed enough. I don't want to be too blessed so that I don't have to think, so that I actually have to not think about provision for tomorrow. I just want to, you know, I want to have a struggle tomorrow, so just bless me enough today for today, and then tomorrow I'll struggle again, Lord. But I mean, like, you see what I mean? Like, people, they pick a level of prosperity where they think, like, this is what God deems worthy for yourself. God is a God of excess. You know what I mean? God is a God that when He blesses you, He blesses you ridiculously. Hallelujah. When you allow Jesus, when you allow God to get involved in your business, when you allow God to get involved in your job, whatever He's called you to do, whatever you're doing right now, if you'll just believe God in it, I guarantee that you'll start seeing radical amount of success. And sometimes you just gotta be faithful, you stick with it. You know, Jordan's sitting back there, he did this Blacklit book launch, the Black Journal paper, whatever, you know, and like, he didn't raise the funds enough for it to succeed on, what was that, Kickstarter. So it never went forward. And, you know, I'm sure that probably didn't feel great. Am I right, Jordan? You probably would have been happier if you, you know, had made like $100,000 in sales. And he could have given up. He could have been like, hey, you know what? I tried. You know what? God, I tried and you didn't bless me. So I'm just going to like, you know, whatever, you know, I'll just go to work and just mind my own business. And you just bless me enough for today, God. No, he's, you know, I admire Jordan because he's didn't even miss a beat. He's just got like a million more brilliant ideas of how he's going to go forward. And right now he's got like this button that he created, you know, not like a button on your pants or something, but a button that you click on online and it helps people sell stuff. And he's making like, he's up to what he just said. I think he's up to $300 a month on income that he'll be making every month. And it's been going up like almost every day. He's getting more people to sign up for this. And, you know, I mean, God will bless you. Sometimes like, you know, you just keep working at things. You keep pressing on and get God involved in your business. And I guarantee Jordan, you know, after a couple of those times where things got tight, I guarantee he could have been like, you know what, things are really tight. I probably need to stop tithing for a while. I probably need to stop giving. You know, I know that they didn't miss a beat. They just keep on believing God's going to provide. God's good. He's going to take care of us. And look, God's blessing them. You know, and that's the way you got to be. You got to keep working it. You just got to keep believing. You got to keep moving forward. And you don't let anything, don't let past failures stop you from being successful today and tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Get God involved with your business, and I guarantee that He will bless you. Amen? God couldn't use me because I've screwed up. I've failed. I've sinned. I've made mistakes. No, Repent, get yourself right with God, and then He'll continue using you. God would use somebody who is more talented than me. God wants to use somebody who's doing incredibly already. Now look, Peter, worst day of business that he'd ever had. Didn't catch a single fish. Probably not even a starfish. You know, I don't even think you could eat one if you caught one anyway. It doesn't even say that he caught a snail. He didn't catch anything. They toiled all night and caught nothing. You know, so they didn't have anything to show. You know what? Scratch the boot and the toilet lid. They didn't catch anything. It says they caught nothing. You could at least maybe sell a used boot to somebody, you know, preserved at the bottom of Lake Gennesaret. You know, someone that really needed a toilet seat that day might have been enticed. You know, he might have polished it up a little bit and sold his old toilet seat. No, it says he caught nothing. It doesn't get any worse than that when you're fishing. Anybody ever gone fishing and you caught nothing? Anybody? That's why I don't like fishing. Right? Now, someone says, well, you go hunting and there's days where you don't catch or where you don't shoot anything when you're hunting. Yeah, but I still feel cool holding a gun and I can always just blast a squirrel. I've done that. There's days where, yeah, I didn't see a deer, but there was a squirrel behind me and I took my .243 caliber rifle and turned that thing into Swiss cheese. You know what I mean? Like, you can still have fun when you're hunting. It's not like fishing. Fishing, you might not see anything, you might not catch anything, you might have a nibble. Like, so, I'm a hunter. Right? Maybe God is seeing how you respond to His call when things haven't gone your way to see how you will handle situations in the future. You know, maybe Jesus intentionally asked Peter, hey, I want to get involved with your fishing ministry here. I want to get involved in, I want to get in your boat, because He knew that Peter hadn't caught a single that day and and He wanted to see how Peter would respond on a day when he caught nothing. Will He still let me use him? Peter could have grumbled and said, man, I haven't caught anything today. I'm done fishing. I'm not going back out on the water. I think he was trying to see, would this guy, even on a day where things did not go the way he wanted, will he allow me to use him? Hallelujah. So don't wait to get involved with what God is doing when things are easy. I think that's what people like. You know, once everything's going perfect, once everything's going easy, that's when I'll allow God to use me. That's when I'll get involved at church. Once I've become a perfect Christian, you know, and I have a halo and whatever. No, you don't have to be perfect in order for God to start using you today. God wants you to be involved. Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus says to him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So clearly Jesus did not understand who he was talking to. He didn't know that he was talking to Peter, the master of the seas, who had fished all night and didn't catch anything. You see, because if anybody would have caught a fish that night, it would have been Peter. He was a professional. And I think that sometimes this can be our attitude, like when God gives us instruction, that we give him reasons as to why it won't work. Jesus, don't you see? I've fished all night. And it's not like this is my first time fishing. I am a professional fisherman, and I've been fishing all night. I'm telling you, Jesus, if there was a fish out there, I would have caught it. There's no point in us going back out there to try and catch a fish. And that can be our attitude, is that when God gives us instruction and we think we know better, we feel like, God, yeah, that's not going to work. That doesn't make any sense. I've already tried. Well, maybe God's just wanting you to have faith in Him and try again. So stop trying to give Him reasons as to why it won't work. Now, I don't know for sure if this actually happened, but I could imagine that Jesus says, like, now, Peter, go back out. Launch out into the deep. Let your nets down, and you'll have a big catch of fish. And I can picture Peter, you know, as he starts saying, like, You know, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. I picture Jesus like giving him all of a sudden, like as Peter starts to make his excuses or whatever, like Jesus starts giving him the look, like, you know what I mean? Like, or like, you know, because it doesn't say that Jesus responded anything, but I could just like maybe see Jesus giving him one of these, like just, you know, just like, look, you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to me, like, just go on out there, you know, just whatever. I don't know if that, you know, I made that up. I don't think that actually happened. But either way, like, because Peter's in the middle of giving him an excuse as to why he can't go out there, and then all of a sudden he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. You see, that is the difference in everything that you'll do. That is the difference that will make you go from not selling anything to selling everything that you can imagine. That is the difference that will make you a person that didn't catch a single fish that night to catching two boat sinking loads of fish, is that I have the word of Jesus. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. When you have the word of God and you're standing on that word, God has given you that word. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter what is going on. And nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I will do it. And when I do it according to your word, I will be successful. Because Peter could still have said no. He could have just stayed there on the side and been like, look, Jesus, we already tried this all night. We're just going to call it a night. We're cutting our losses. We understand. We tried. And look, we appreciate your faith in our fishing abilities, but trust me, there ain't a fish out here tonight. They're not hungry. But look, he said, nevertheless, at your word. Even when they fished all night, they tried everything. They tried every possible way to succeed. It's when Jesus gives you the word, even if it's something that you've done 100 times, when you have the word of God that says, you're going to be blessed. I'm gonna cause you to be successful, and you go out and you do it that time, that's when you'll succeed. It's a matter of hearing, God, what is your word for me today? What is your word for me tonight? What is your word for me this week, this month, this year? Amen? Hallelujah. Because that was the only thing that was different about Peter going out to fish. The lake had not changed. The same amount of fish that were in the lake a moment before, God did not counterfeit a whole bunch of fake fish to like suddenly appear. But God doesn't do that. There's the same conditions as before, other than the fact that now I have the word of God that says, let down my nets and I will have a boat sinking load of fish. So he goes out there obedient. And when he does, God caused ridiculous amount of success to come on him. Do you know that God's provision for your life can be so big, it'll cause people to repent for their sins? That's what happened here. Think about it. They caught so many fish that Peter bows down at Jesus and he says, leave me, for I am a sinful man. He fell under conviction of sin because God's miraculous provision was so great. And then not just Peter, not just the man in charge of the business, but everybody, all of his partners and everybody that was involved in the business decided to forsake everything, all of the success that they just had. Think about that. They're like, man, we just had the biggest haul of fish that we've ever had. We're going to keep fishing this spot from now until the day I die. I find, you know, when, like I said, if you're a fisherman, you find yourself a honey hole, right? You find the spot where the fish are biting and you just fish that spot until there's not a fish left. That's what they could have said. They could have said, we're going to sit right here. We're going to cast our nets time and time again. We're going to have the biggest fishing empire on this side of Lake Galilee. No one's going to be able to compete with us. We're going to shut all them other garbage little fish stands down. This is Peter's fish fry. We're going to have the best fish in town. Everybody's going to come from everywhere because they want some of Peter's fish. That's what they could have said, right? The best day of business they ever had. Two boats sinking loads of fish. But nope, they're like, you know what? They were smarter because they understood that the reason that they succeeded wasn't because of the honey hole. The reason that they succeeded was because of Jesus. And they're like, man, I'm going to forsake everything because if Jesus at his word caused me to succeed in this one moment, all I need to do is to follow after Jesus and he'll cause me to be successful everywhere I go. They understood that Jesus was the one that caused the success. So why not follow the guy who's causing the success? So they go back to the shore and they're like, I don't need these boats anymore. We're following this guy because he's the one that caused the success. Don't chase the success. Chase the one who's causing the success. You know, too many people are doing the wrong way. They're chasing the success. They want so badly to be successful. Chase the one who can cause you to become successful. Amen? And so then Jesus, he doesn't tell Peter like a religious person would, "You're right, you are a wicked sinner. Flee from my presence. You're not worthy to be around me. I'm so holy, Peter. Please leave." No, he says, "I'm going to teach you how to become a fisher of men." That's what Jesus wants from us too. He wants us to learn how to become fishers of men. You know, there's a lot of way to catch fish. Sometimes you got a hook with a worm on it. Sometimes you got, like, you know, a spinner lure. Sometimes you got a net. Sometimes you got a stick of dynamite and you throw it in, you blow the whole lake up and all the fish come to the top. There's different ways to catch fish, right? You know, and people get all caught up on, like, how you catch fish. You know, like, no, this is the way you're supposed to do it. Look, it doesn't matter how you catch the fish as long as you're catching fish. You know, fishing is fun when you're catching fish, right? That's why for me, I wait until my brothers go out and the fish start biting. Then I'll be like, all right, I'll get my pole. I'll go out there. Now that I know where the fish are biting and what lure to use, I'll let you do all the grunt work and figure out how to do it. Once you figure out how to do it, sure, I'll join you. But just don't expect me to sit out there for 3 hours on a bucket not catching a single thing, right? I'll wait till I know exactly how to do it, and then I'll go out there. So, look, there's many different ways that you can catch fish. So, you know, I mean, but God has called us to become fishers of men. And here, you know, what's really exciting is the snow is finally melting, and we're going to be able to start going back out and sharing the gospel on the streets here. And so if maybe this is something that you've wanted to do, is like, Lord, teach me how to be a fisher of men. I promise you that God can use anybody to share the gospel with another person. And it just takes a little bit of boldness. It takes a little bit of, look, I'll tell you, the first time, you know, I shared the gospel with somebody, well, when I was a teenager and after being filled with the Holy Spirit, I so badly wanted to tell other people about Jesus, but I had no idea how to do it. No one told me that you can just tell somebody, hey, God loves you, He has a great plan for your life, and just start praying for that person right there and ask them if they want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I thought, you know, it has to be in a church, it has to be at an altar or whatever. Like, so I just knew that I loved Jesus, so I just started inviting people to church. Thankfully, a lot of my friends came and they gave their hearts to God, but, you know, you don't have to do it at a church. It doesn't have to be when a preacher gives an invitation to come to the altar. It could be right in a grocery store. It could be in a parking lot. It could be at a trailer park. It could be, you know, at Disney World. It doesn't matter. Wherever people are, that's where people can get saved. And so I remember the first time that, you know, I went to Bible school, and they tell us when you get down there, they're like, all right, this quarter, they give you your quota of how many people you got to get saved. And it's like, wait a second. I've never prayed with one person. You want me to pray with 10 people to get saved this week? Like, are you crazy? Like, that ain't happening. And they taught us how to win souls. And I couldn't agree with the way that they were doing it. You know, like I said, there's many different ways of catching fish. And they gave us this little card. It's called the Gospel Soul Winning Script. And it's just, like, really simple. It goes, you know, has anyone ever told you that God loves you and that He has a wonderful plan for your life? And then, you know, they answer yes or no. And you just go through a couple questions, go through a couple scriptures, and then you pray for them, and then you ask them, and then you ask them to pray with you to receive Jesus. And I thought to myself, nobody in their right mind would ever pray with anybody just reading this little card to them. So I thought to myself, I'm way more clever than any of these people who've been doing this a lot longer than me. So here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to memorize this thing. That way, you know, I won't look so stupid. Because when you go out and you start wanting to share the gospel with people, you think it's about you. You think it's about how pretty you are, how ugly you are, how smart you are, how intelligent you are, how you sound. Like, do I have the whole book of James memorized? No. Well, then I can't go soul winning. You know, I don't fully understand the Levitical priesthood. So what if they ask me about that? What am I going to do? And you start thinking about all these different reasons as to why you're not going to be able to go out and share the gospel with somebody. So So here I am, they tell us, like, all right, we're going soul winning right now. And I'm like, what do you mean right now? I got to prepare for this mentally. I got to, like, convince myself, like, that I'm able to do this. And so they're like, nope, we're all getting in vans and we're going to, like, some bus station. And we go to this bus station. And I remember the very first time, like, I thought, I'm going to memorize this script, the gospel soul winning script, on the way to the bus station. That way I don't look like an idiot trying to read this thing to people. And that way I might actually have some chance at success in this. And so I memorize for the most part, like, you know, the beginning parts of it. And I'm like, I'll figure out the rest from there, you know, whatever. You know, at least if I can get through the beginning of it, then, like, maybe I can read the prayer part. I don't know what I was saying. But so I go up and I start trying to, like, you know, from memory, go through the gospel soul winning script. I failed so hard. I fell flat on my face. I didn't get a single person to, like, even be remotely interested in what I was trying to say to them. Because, you know, here I am thinking it's me. Here I am thinking I have to sound well put together. Here I think it's all about me and how I sound and how I present the gospel and all this stuff, which is all wrong because the power of God is in the Word. The Word of God is the power of salvation in the name of Jesus, right? And so finally, after, like, failing, like, I mean, 5-10 people, not a single person wants to pray with me, let alone talk to me, right? And so finally I'm like, okay, I'll just try and read this thing. And I remember, like, the first people, like, the first, I remember 7 people that first day when I just decided I'll just read this thing to them. And you just read it, and, like, people are like, man, because, like, they're hearing the words, and it's not your words that matter. It's not so much about the person that's bringing the message, it's about the message. And so God wants us all to become fisher and men. And this is, look, we have it's one way to catch fish, and people get hung up on the fact that, you know, well, it's a gospel soul-winning script, so I don't like that method. You know, well, you know what, when you get a better method, like me, you know, if you tell me, hey, the fish are really biting in this spot right here, you just put this bait on, you go down to that spot, trust me, I'll be there. You know, I haven't really found another method that works better than this one, at least not when it comes to one-on-one evangelism. You know, so, like I said, spring is here, is today? Yesterday, the first day of spring. All right, it's exciting. You know, weather's going to be warming up, and I just want to encourage you all, if you want to learn how to become a soul winner, if you want to share the gospel with people, it's really quite simple, so just let us know, and we're going to begin doing training classes, and we're going to go out in the streets, and we'll share the gospel with people. People are waiting for God to use them. They want to be used, but maybe they think, like Peter, you know, this is on the least opportune day that Jesus came by my boat and asked me to get in it. Things are not going well today. Not today, Jesus. Come try my boat again next week. That's how people are when it comes to soul winning. You know, like, I've just been through some crap recently. I can't go out and tell people about Jesus. You know, whatever. They come up with reasons as to why they can't go out and share the gospel with people. But look, you know, and there's going to be people that are going to say no, and there's going to be some people that might get angry or whatever, but then there's going to be someone that you share the gospel with, and tears start rolling down their cheeks, and they're like, this is exactly what I needed. And that's the reason why we go back. You know, like in door-to-door sales, when you get people slamming the door in your face, it sucks. And that's not the reason you go back out, is because I love when people slam the door in my face and tell me, get off my property, I'm calling the cops. It's not what people go to door-to-door sales for. They go it because they know that if one of these people actually says yes, then I got a good payday coming, right? So it's soul winning. You know, you're not going out there because you love rejection. You're going out there because it's the one person. It's the people that are going to say yes to you. So I want to encourage you. Jesus wants us all to become fisher of men. You know, he said this to Peter, James, and John, but I don't think that every, you know, person, every person can become a soul winner. Peter, James, and John, he said them, you're all to become fishers of men. God wants us to become fishers of men. Now look, I have a whole bunch more. We only got through the first part of this chapter, but I believe that we covered this story at least partially well enough. But you see, God has so much that he can bring out of his word with just one story. So what can we take away from this? God wants us to be ridiculously blessed. And sometimes He's waiting for you to allow him to get involved before he's going to bless you. Peter actually had to be obedient to Jesus to do what he said, to allow Jesus in. He helped Jesus proclaim the gospel, and then Jesus ridiculously blessed him for it. I believe that as you allow God to get involved with you at your job, at your company, in your business, and you ask God, how can you use me? How can you use my talents? How can you use me to get your message out there? I believe that God will not just use you to do that, but he will also ridiculously, overwhelmingly bless you on top of it. Amen? Maybe he'll use your business. He'll use your prosperity. He's going to use you somehow to get the message out there. And if you want to learn how to catch fish the way that I learned how to catch fish, very successful. I'm like my brother that found the honey hole and figured out a way that it works. This is just one of the ways that it works. If you want to learn how to do that, just let us know, and we're going to be announcing dates for as soon as it's warming up outside. You know, we're not nearly as brave as like some of the churches. Like in Finland, it's like negative 28 degrees, you know, and they're out there like in like six coats and, you know, whatever, scarves, gloves, and they're out there telling people, sharing the gospel with people, you know. Props to them, all right? But if you want to go on winter soul winning excursions, just go to Finland. They'll teach you how to do it over there. You know, we wait until the weather's a little bit warmer here. And so if you want to get involved with that, we'd love to have you. Hallelujah. Did you guys get something out of that? God wants you blessed. God wants you to be involved with you. God wants to be in your boat. God gives you the word, and then at his word, you be obedient to do his word, and he will bless you for it. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.